Well, camp meeting begins tonight. I want to ask you a question. Are you expecting to receive? I'm excited because, first of all, I expect God to move mightily. Secondly, I get to see some people I haven't seen in a while. In fact, we already have some of our speakers already here with us, and then several of you are already here this morning. We're glad to have you. But I want to talk today on a subject called All Because of the Blood. Now, Hebrews 10:19 says, "So, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus." Excuse me. I want to focus on the last part of that verse, because of Jesus. That tells us that everything hinges on the blood of Jesus. If he didn't go to Calvary, then we would not be able to receive what we receive. Let me get one of these things. In case y'all don't know what this is, it's called a vocal zone, and entertainers use them, singers use them, and you can just take it, put it right here. I can still talk, but it helps clear my throat, okay? Somebody said, you're funny. Well, I might as well tell everybody what's going on. I'm doing something anyway, so I'll let you know what it is, okay? In 1826, Robert Lowry wrote a song, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Now, when I was a kid growing up in church, and it seemed like back, that would have been, you know, and I was born in September 3rd, 1939, so this would have been the mid-40s, right after the war. And we would, and all the way through, even until I was in college in Southwestern at Bible College. We sing all the time. Every time we come to church, we sing a song about the blood of Jesus. Anybody go to church that did that? I know we Pentecostals and the Baptists did that, I know for a fact. But some of those songs, "Nothing But the Blood of Jesus," "Power in the Blood," "Are You Washed in the Blood?" "There is a fountain filled," I love this, this is one of my favorite songs. "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain." And then I saw some of you mouthing it with me, you know that song. And then, "When I see the blood will never lose its power." You know, that's one that Andre Crouch wrote in the late 60s, early 70s, I can't remember which. And then, "Jesus paid it all," and "Oh, the blood of Jesus." You know, we used to hear some sermons about the blood of Jesus. Even in the early days of the charismatic renewal, they call it, there was a lot of preaching about the blood covenant, the blood. The blood of Jesus is the only reason that we receive anything. That's where our salvation is. That's where we come into right standing with God. That's where we can have the peace of God. You know, now some people in their Christian life walk, they have different things. Some people depend upon their good works. Some people depend upon being a member of a certain church. Well, the only church you need to be a member of is the ecclesia, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we have local churches that people need to be a part of, but the main church is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's who he's coming back for. You know, some people depend on having the correct water baptismal formula. Some people say, if you're not baptized like this, then you're not saved. Well, that's not true, because that, you can read it in the Bible. You know, and some people depend upon Jesus' mother. Others depend on partaking of the communion elements at a certain way and a certain time. But we got to remember that our whole Christian life stands on the blood that was shed on Calvary's hill. You know, the Israelites were told to put the blood on the doorpost of their house so the death angel would pass over. The life of their firstborn depended on that. Let's read that in Exodus 12:13. But the blood on your doorpost will serve as a sign marking the house where you are staying. When I see the blood, I will pass over. The plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. Now, the survival and deliverance of the firstborn son depended totally on the blood. Now, if we go back, Israel had been in captivity in Egypt, been slaves. God sent Moses from the desert as he spoke to him from the burning bush, "Go deliver my people." So he went back to Egypt to deliver the people. He went to Pharaoh many, many times, and he never turned them loose. So God said, "Okay, I've given them a chance. Now, this is what I'm going to do." He told them to prepare a certain meal, to get a lamb, a spotless lamb, had no blemishes. They were to prepare that lamb in a certain way, and then they were to take the blood and wipe it on the top and the sides of the door. They were to stand with their sandals on, everything ready to go, and then they were delivered out of Egypt. Now, as we go on and study types and shadows, you will find out that Egypt is a type of sin. They were delivered from Egypt by the blood. Now, God told them every year at this certain time, you eat this meal. It's called the Passover meal. And every year, they would have to get a spotless lamb. That lamb would have to be killed. They would take the blood and wipe it on an escape goat, they called it, and they would turn that loose in the wilderness. That was they there for a year. That was they were free from sin. They were delivered. Then the high priest would take some of that blood and go into the Holy of Holies, to the Ark of the Covenant, where the power of God resided. And he would sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat there, on the top of the altar, the Ark. Then Israel went to the promised land. And they didn't do everything right, and they ended up in captivity, but then they came back. And I don't have time to do the whole story of the whole Old Testament, all the kings and the bad kings, the good kings, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom and all of that stuff. But then they went into a period of complete exile from God for 400 years between Malachi and Matthew. But in Matthew and Luke, Mark, they record the birth of a child, Jesus. And he grew up, he lived for 33 or 33 and a half years, whichever of the chronological reports you want to believe. And he did miracles and so forth. But then on that fateful night, he was taken captive. And actually, before that, they went to do the, it was at Passover time. This one, when, this is significant because it was at Passover time whenever Jesus went to the cross and shed his blood. They ate the Passover meal with his disciples before he ever went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And at that Passover meal, he instituted a new Passover for us when he took the bread and broke it and took the cup. And then he was taken captive. There was a mock trial. And he went to Calvary and he shed his blood on Calvary's hill. And that blood still flows today for our salvation, for our deliverance, for our right standing with God, for our victory. Everything that we have is made possible by the blood of Jesus. Now, I just did a quick story of how I want, so many times we don't understand when we're talking about the blood of Jesus, power in the blood. We do not understand that it all started back in Egypt with the blood on the doorpost. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, then we have the blood applied to us. It's because of that blood that was shed. In fact, I'm going to probably use that scripture in a minute, but without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sin. You know, sometimes we do not realize that everything that the Bible says that we can have is all because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. Listen to this. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which loses value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. We don't live the way we used to live because we've been delivered from that. The Bible says that in our sin that we were separated from God, but whenever we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we now can come boldly to the throne of grace. It's all because of Calvary and what happened on Calvary. All of the promises of God are made real in our lives through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed at Calvary. Now, I want to go back and pick up on something. It says, Hebrews 9:22 says, for without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. Now, I stopped with his death, with his him on Calvary. But when he, after the blood had flowed from the crown of thorns, from the nails in his hands and his feet, and from his side, and he looked up and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he said, it is finished. that moment in that temple that Solomon had built with the Holy of Holies where the ark sat, that ark had the presence of God. That's where the presence of God resided. But that curtain, there's several different versions of what people think it was. Some people think it was about this thick and so forth and so on and 20 foot tall and all. But it ripped from top to bottom when he said it's finished. Many people take that meaning his death. No, he said it's finished. The sacrifice for sin has been paid. And that curtain split from top to bottom. And God said, no longer will my presence dwell in a box, in a house made of stone. But my presence will dwell in the man, the person, we probably should say, that I created. And we, because of that blood that paid the sacrifice. You see, when they killed that lamb, to begin with, the first time blood was applied, and all through the ages when they killed that spotless lamb, it was the blood. And that's what happened on that great day when Jesus Christ arose from the dead and went to the Father. And he said, and I'm paraphrasing, but you know, this is what happened. He went to the Father. He said, I paid the price. I gave the blood. And that's where we are today. And we have been, according to Ephesians 2:13, we have been, but now you have been united with Christ. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. Our whole Christian life rests upon that single thing, the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed at Calvary. It seems that we don't understand all of that sometimes. It seems that we get all involved. Of course, our salvation is great. Thank God for it. But then we all get involved in receiving all the benefits and talking about all the benefits that the Word of God says. And Paul says that all of the promises are yes and amen to us. Yes, and so be it. But sometimes we do not realize that he paid the price for our salvation. But that price was also paid for everything that God has for us, because I could go back and go into all the details, because when Adam was created, he was created by God. God came down and dwelt with him and walked and talked with him. But when he transgressed against what God said, he was kicked out of the garden. And so therefore, now all mankind is annihilated from God, but Jesus Christ came to bring us back, and I just talked about it. We have right standing with God. We have, because of the blood of Jesus, we can come bold. The Word of God says we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Because of the blood of Jesus, according to what the Word of God says, we become a new person in Christ Jesus. Because of the blood, we have been adopted into the family of God. We can read it there in the Word of God. Because of the blood, we have been forgiven. Because of the blood, we have protection. Because of God, because of the blood, we are qualified to receive everything that God said belonged to us. And it's all because of the blood that was shed on Calvary. That song that Andre Crouch sang, the blood will never lose its power. It flows to the highest mountain and goes to the lowest valley. There's no place that you can go that you can't get away from the fact that God is there to redeem you if you will accept it. Somebody said, well, why isn't everybody saved? Because they haven't accepted it. You have to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, according to the Word of God, according to Romans 10:9-10. If you believe in your heart that God, that he died for our sins and he raised from the dead, and you confess it with your mouth and believe it in your heart, the Bible says you will be a new person in Christ Jesus. Paul says it this way. He says that old things have passed away, but now you have become a new person in Christ Jesus. You see, Revelation 12:11 says, "And they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die." This verse speaks of provision and application. We live in a world where Satan, and we're surrounded by that, and all of the things that are involved. But we defeat all of that, according to the scripture, by the blood of Jesus and by the testimony. What is our testimony? We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been set free by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been given a new life by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible, Paul tells us there that old things don't exist anymore. They've been passed away. They've been done away with. Too many people are in the enemy, tries to use your path after you accept Christ, tries to say, well, you're not good enough. Look at what you did. Hey, according to what the Bible says, when you become born again, all of that is washed away. It's taken away. It no longer exists. This person you were before you received Jesus as your personal Savior does not live anymore. Oh, well, you're still alive. I'm talking about the real man on the inside. The spirit man on the inside is a new creation, not just fixed up like you fix up something that's old and dilapidated. But the Bible says you have become a new person in Christ Jesus. You don't act like you used to. You don't live like you used to. You don't talk like you used to. Come on now. Anybody with me today? The provision and the application come through the blood. We must actively apply this. Now, what am I talking about? I'm talking about, see, Romans 3:24-25 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Now, that's the old King James. Now, the New Century Version says, God sent him to die in our place to take away our sins. We receive forgiveness through faith in the blood of Jesus' death. You see, we have to begin to activate the power in the blood with our words. In olden days, that's when I was growing up and what I'm talking about. We activated, and many of you did the same thing, singing those songs about power in the blood. And are you washed in the blood? And those songs. You know, now some of you may have heard this as young. I heard it all the time. Christian would say, I plead the blood. I plead the blood. Anybody ever heard that before? I plead the blood. What are they doing? It's the blood of Jesus Christ. That blood is what defeated him. Come on. Now, they were doing what you need to do. Open your mouth and say the words. Hello? You there? You know, we need to use our words more. You need to learn how to plead the blood over everything. Over your family. I pray for my family every night. That's one of them. I'll pray for them other time, but one of the things I do every night before I go to sleep, I pray for my family, and I say that they're protected by the blood of Jesus in the 91st Psalm, which says, no harm shall come near you. The blood of Jesus. There's a song that old Mike Perkey sings. I forget what the name of it is. Anyway, he says, Satan is afraid of the blood. It's the blood that sets you free. David Ingalls has a song called On the Basis of the Blood. A lot of those original songs that David got, he got them when he was traveling my dad out on the road, and he would get those songs as Dad would be preaching. And I know Dad would preach about the blood. Many of you know that. You've heard him preach about it. And he got this on the basis of the blood. On the basis of the blood is our entire Christian life based. That's it. You know, we need to realize that we receive everything on the basis of the blood. Say it with me, on the basis of the blood. I have been set free. On the basis of the blood, all the promises of God are made available to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know I hadn't preached long, but everybody stand up and let's thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood, for your salvation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Maybe you're in this congregation and you have never received Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. But he died for you. He shed his blood for you. Or maybe you're here and you know what it is to live for God, but you just messed up and got off a detour. You need to rededicate your life. If that's you, you need Christ. You need to rededicate your life to God. I want to minister to you and I want to pray with you, but I can't pray for you and with you if I don't know who you are. So if that's you, upstairs, downstairs, anywhere in this congregation, if you'll just step out of your seat, walk down the aisle right here, I'll be down there. I will pray with you, and you won't leave this place like you came. In the name of Jesus. I'm waiting. This is your opportunity to change your life forever. How many of you that have received Jesus would raise your hand and say, my life has been changed forever because of Jesus Christ? Look around. See these people with their hands up. You can become a part of that group. It's your opportunity. Do not let it go by. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, praise the Lord. Thank God, Father. Nobody's moving. But if there be one person in this place that needs to receive you as their personal Savior, I pray that the convicting power of the Holy Spirit will go with them and they will not be able to be comfortable doing anything until they stop and accept Jesus Christ as the Lord of their life. Y'all got anything y'all want to sing?
The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. Oh, the blood that gives me strength.
Flows to the lowest. died at Calvary so you could have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah.
You know, somebody asked me one time, said, well, why do y'all raise your hands? Well, raising your hands is a sign of surrender to God, but also raising your hands can be in appreciation and thanksgiving. You know, it's just an outward expression of the love that you have for God. That's all it is. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I trust you got what I was trying to tell you, that it's all because of the blood. Amen. Now, you know, around here, the pastoral staff, y'all can go. We got a north section, entrance, east, west, and south. On the screen, it shows you I'm going to be at the south today. Don and Denise are going to be west. Bill and Tony are going to be north. And Tad and Amanda and Robin and Sarah are going to be east. All right? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Now, some of y'all start leaving so fast, I can't even get to the door before you go out. But they're going to sing, and then you're dismissed. God bless you. We'll see you tonight. What time? 6 o'clock, camp meeting. Come believing, come expecting. God bless.
Reaches.